Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
You ever wonder why oil and water don't mix? These are the questions that roll around in your pastor's mind while he's sick with COVID and he's just got no time or all the time in the world and nothing to focus on. And why do oil and water, why do they not mix, right? So, I did a lot of research on this while I was sick because I was bored. I didn't have anything else to do. And YouTube, all truth is on YouTube, right? So I went to YouTube for a little bit of the answer, and I found the answer to why water and oil not mixing. It's pretty simple. Water and oil do not mix because they are not great dance partners. That's what YouTube told me. They're just not good dance partners at a molecular level. At the very essence of their existence, oil and water cannot mix. They can't be in the same place at the same time. It's not in their nature to mix together. As a matter of fact, when you try to mix oil and water, they do a very nice job on their own of separating automatically. You don't have to do anything. Pour them both in the same jar, they'll sort it out. They'll just figure out that, hey, the water molecules are going to go a little lower and the oil molecules are going to rise to the top, and they are not going to occupy the same space. It is impossible for them to occupy the same space because they are different at a molecular level. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been focused on this scriptural reality that God wants to do more than we can think or imagine through the power of the Holy Spirit that's already at work in every single one of us. We've been focused on Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. We've been focused on that promise that God wants to do more than you can ever think or imagine through the power of the Holy Spirit that is working already in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Now, this is a message for everyone. The message today, it was written specifically for you. If you're thinking, oh, the pastor's preaching about oil and water not mixing, it's not for me. I'm here again today to tell you, no, we're talking about scriptural truth this morning, and it is a message for each and every one of us because it gets to how we're made at the very spiritual, molecular level. As we anchor ourselves in this truth, I want us to all just continue to remember every day as you get up, what does God want to do today that is beyond what I could think or imagine through the power of His Holy Spirit that's already working in my life? I want you to be expecting that. I want you to be expecting the unimaginable to happen in your life. One of the main things that gets in the way of God doing the unimaginable through the power of His Spirit already in us is fear. Fear. Oil and water don't mix. Neither do fear or faith. Jesus, He had His original group of disciples, the original 12, and they learned this lesson in a very visceral way one evening as they were crossing the Sea of Galilee. They were on a boat. They were sailing across the Sea of Galilee. And you got to remember that several of Jesus' original disciples were Navy guys. Anybody in the Navy vets in here this morning? I know we might have a couple out there. But, you know, several of His disciples, they were sailors. They grew up on the water. They were mariners. Not the Seattle Mariners type, but they were actually, they were professional boaters. Jeff Yinger knows a little bit about this as he gets his boat out on the lake. got a little bit of experience. They were fishermen by trade. So when they got into any boat, Peter, Andrew, James, John, they were all coming back to their natural element. They knew how to do this. This was their comfort zone. This was their area of expertise. And between Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they probably had decades of collective experience with regard to how to operate a boat on the Sea of Galilee, which was their workplace, in any and all circumstances. They'd seen everything. Those four in particular probably seen everything that could happen on a boat. And then Jesus calls them to be fishers of men instead of fishers of fish. He calls them to be fishers of men, and they had left their trade, and they had followed Jesus, and they had personally experienced and witnessed the unimaginable happening through the ministry of Jesus Christ and happening through them as they were participating in Jesus' teaching. They witnessed the unimaginable healings. Unimaginable healings. They witnessed unimaginable miracles. They witnessed the feeding of large crowds, blowing their mind. How is this happening? How does this work? Is it magic? Is it some sort of spell? What's going on here? Because the unimaginable is happening in front of their very eyes as they follow Jesus. And on this night, the 12 were on a boat, and they were heading from one side of the Sea of Galilee to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And we pick the story up in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, we pick it up, and it says, that day when evening came, it's nighttime, it's getting dark, the sun is going down, Jesus said to his little cadre of disciples, hey, let's go over to the other side. Let's go to the other side of the lake. I don't know why they went to the other side of the lake. When you go to, anybody been to Indian Lake before on a boat? You know, if you're on the north side of Indian Lake at the boat docks, a lot of times you go across the lake to the south side of the lake so you can get donuts. You go, hey, I don't know, maybe they were going across the Sea of Galilee to get donuts, or maybe they were going for some other reason. He says, let's go to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind that was with them, they got on the boat, they took Jesus along just as he was in the boat with them. And there were also other boats with him, it says. There were also other boats. So a group of boats coming across the Sea of Galilee, and out of nowhere, a furious squall, a storm brews up on the Sea of Galilee, and the waves begin rising, and the winds begin blowing, and the waves break over the bow of the boat, and the boat's filling up with water, so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus says Jesus was in the stern, which is in the back of the boat. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke Jesus up in a panic, and they said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? The ship is going down. We are going to sink. And Jesus got up from where he was sleeping. He rebuked the wind and the waves. He said, quiet! Be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, he was kind of irritated. You know, when you get woken up from a nap, Les, you can get kind of cranky. You know, that I could be that way. He said to his disciples, kind of wiping the tired out of his eyes after he just settled to calm the waters. He's like, why are you so afraid? Can't you just hear him kind of rebuking them? Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Come on, guys. They were terrified. And they asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey this man. It's unimaginable what we just witnessed. Do you see what's happening here? It must have been like nothing that this group of experienced fishermen had ever seen in their lives. The winds blowing furiously, the waves breaking over the bow of the boat, and it's taking on water. And Peter and Andrew and James and John, they'd seen some storms during their time, but they had never been in the middle of anything like this, and they're looking at each other going, this may be it. We may be going down. the storm came out of nowhere. And as experienced sailors, had they thought the weather was going to be bad, they probably would have said, hey, let's stay close to the shore. Or maybe as experienced sailors, if they would have seen storm clouds on the horizon that evening, maybe they would have even said, maybe we should wait until morning and just stay on dry land. Maybe they had lost their sea legs. Maybe they lost their touch. They definitely had lost their nerve being out on the water that night. And they were panicked. They panicked. While they were in the fight of their lives to save the ship, Jesus was in the stern of the boat on a cushion. The stern's back by the rudder, which steers the boat, right? Jesus is back there sleeping through all this commotion. And in the midst of the ferocious storm, these experienced sailors, afraid that they're about to go under, turn to the landlubber, carpenter, sleeping in the driver's seat of the boat. Jesus, we're going down. This is it. Wake up, Jesus. Wake up. You can see him kind of trying to wake him up because he's in a sound sleep. Do something. How in the world can you sleep in a moment like this? Don't you care if we drown or not? And Jesus, what does he do? He doesn't panic. He simply gets up and he speaks out, be quiet, be still. And the unimaginable happens. The unimaginable happens. The storm, it stops. And just like that, it's completely calm. It's completely calm. And Jesus looks at them, and I'm pretty sure he looks at the experienced fishermen first and foremost directly and says, why are you so afraid, you bozos? Why are you still afraid? Do you have no faith? You see, the disciples needed to be reminded by the master that fear and faith don't mix. They're with Jesus. They're walking with him every day, and they need to be reminded that fear and faith don't mix. And if they needed that reminder, how much more do you today need the reminder that fear and faith don't mix? When the winds are blowing, when the waves are breaking over the bow, when the ship is taking on water and it seems like you're going to be going down, have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear, folks, when Jesus is on board. Amen. The boat. Fear and faith are like oil and water. They don't mix. They can't be in the same place at the same time. And the more fear we have in our hearts, the less faith we're able to latch onto. Did you know that? When your heart is filled with fear, the less you are capable of latching onto faith in your life. But conversely, the more faith that we have, the more faith that we have in Jesus, the less fear is able to overwhelm us in our moment of need. Fear displaces faith. Amen. They can't exist in the same place. Fear displaces faith. Just like oil and water, they can't be in the same place at the same time. If we're full of fear, we're much less likely to take a leap of faith. You hear that? Yeah. If we're full of fear, we're much less likely to take a leap of faith for Jesus in our lives. But when we're full of faith, even when the boat seems to be sinking, Jesus is able to do the unimaginable through the power of the Holy Spirit that's already at work within us. Fear caused the disciples, even the most experienced of the sailors on board, to panic. Fear leads to panic. They tried everything. They didn't know what to do. But what did they do? They turned to Jesus. They were wise enough in that situation to turn to Jesus. Is Jesus on board your boat today? Is Jesus on board? Fear has this way of stifling the work of the Spirit in our lives. You get this? Fear stifles the work of the Spirit in our lives. Fear has this way of keeping us on the bench. Fear has this way of keeping us out of the game. Fear can paralyze even the most experienced among us in our faith walk. You can have been doing this for years, walking with Jesus, and fear can come into our lives and paralyze us, cause us to panic and bench us. We're afraid to act in faith because of what if? What if? What if it doesn't work?
Do it again.
What if it makes me look dumb?
Try something else.
What if I get hurt? What if it costs me something? What if I'm the only one willing to go? What if they don't like me? What if they laugh at me? What if I'm rejected? The prophet Elijah in the Old Testament, he found himself in a pickle like this. In 1 Kings chapter 19, he's on the run. Elijah's a prophet and he's called of God and he's on the run. Jezebel and Ahab, as we read the story, you can go read it yourself, but basically he's a wanted man and Jezebel and Ahab are trying to kill him. He's just trying to do God's work. And Jezebel and Ahab and their armies are on the hunt for Elijah. He's a wanted man. Probably got his face up on a poster all over the place. Wanted, dead or alive. Elijah. They wanted him dead. And we're told in verse 3 of 1 Kings 19 that Elijah was afraid. Fear and faith don't mix, right? Elijah's afraid. And what does this prophet called by God do? He runs. He runs, baby. He is on the run, on the lam. He runs and he hides in a cave out in the countryside. He's hiding in a cave. And while Elijah is hiding out, the scripture tells us that the Spirit of the Lord came to him and called him out of his fear. He's like, in a cave all by himself, sitting in the dark. They're trying to kill me. I just think there's something to this notion that when we go underground in fear, that God comes and finds us where we're at. And he calls us out. He calls us out. He wants to pull us out of our fear, pull us out of our cave, and calls us to confront that which we're running from. What if they kill me if I come out of this cave? God comes and he calls Elijah out of the cave, and Elijah, he's like, Lord, I have been very zealous for you. You know, he's in earnest prayer at this point. God calls him. He comes out to the mouth of the cave. Lord, the people of Israel, your people have rejected you. And I'm the only one left. And Lord, now that they're trying to kill me too. The boat's going down. Don't you care? And the Lord says, Elijah, go out of this cave and stand on the mountain. Because I want to remind you of who's still on your side. And the scripture tells us, and this is a story that every good Jewish boy and girl and every Christian follower of Jesus learns in Sunday school. But Elijah, he comes out of the cave, and the scripture tells us that as he came out of the cave, this mighty hurricane-like wind blew. And the wind was so strong, it actually caused big rocks to topple down the hillside. It crushed rocks. But the Lord was not in the wind. And then after the wind blew, there was a massive earthquake and the ground was shaking. It was a 7.5 on the Richter scale and destruction everywhere on the mountainside by this earthquake. But the Lord was not in the quaking of the earth. And then after the wind blew and after the earthquake, there was a fire We think about wildfires these days, right? And how climate change has increased wildfires. Well, this whole mountainside, there's a fire on this mountainside, and it's a raging blaze, and all the trees and the brush and everything blackened to carbon-scored smoke and ash. But the Lord was not in the fire. And then after all that, you know how it goes. There was a gentle whisper. There was a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, his head popped up. And he came out of the cave a little further, and the Lord said, "Elijah, what are you doing here? Why are you hiding? Don't you see what's happening?" The Lord was not in the wind. The Lord was not in the earthquake. The Lord was not in the fire. And when that whisper of God's voice occurred, I think Elijah, the light bulb went off in his head and in his heart. And Elijah realized that the Spirit of the Lord wasn't in any of that stuff. The Spirit of the Lord wasn't even in the whisper. Elijah realized that the Spirit of God was in him. I've read that story so many times, and I focused on the Spirit of God being in the whisper. No. The Spirit of the Lord, Elijah realizes that he's running, and the Spirit's not in all of these unimaginable things he just witnessed. The Spirit of God is alive in his soul. When we go, church, in the power of the Spirit that is already within us, we have nothing to fear. No wind, no earthquakes, no waves. When Jesus is on board, when we give his Spirit permission to rule and to work within our hearts, to make us holy from the inside out, we have nothing to fear. When Jesus is on board, not even the strongest of storms can take us down. And when the Spirit speaks to Elijah and Elijah realizes what's going on, the Spirit says, "Elijah, what are you doing here? Why are you here? You're in the wrong place." And Elijah realizes that God is in him, and that he's reminded that God has called him personally, and that God has sent him. And suddenly Elijah realizes he has nothing to fear. And you know what the Spirit of the Lord does? The Spirit of the Lord sends Elijah back the way from which he had fled. And you know what? Nothing that Elijah was afraid of that was going to happen came to pass. Nothing that he was afraid of happened to him. He was not caught by Jezebel and Ahab. He was not put to death. Instead, if you go on to read Elijah's story, he was enabled to do more than he could personally think or imagine through the power of the Spirit that was already at work within him. And you talk about unimaginable. Elijah's one of those people in the Bible who never dies. What happens to Elijah? He has an unimaginable transition to heaven. The chariots from heaven come and pick him up like a taxi, like an Uber, and usher him out of this world. He perished like no other. The great prophet Elijah, not even death, which he really was afraid of, took him. It was the power of the Spirit that was at work in him that allowed the unimaginable to happen. Friends, sometimes God, and again, I'm talking to you this morning. Regardless of how old you are, I'm talking to you. Sometimes God directs us to stop hiding from that which scares us, and to go do his work in the midst of those circumstances anyhow. Amen. It's in that situation where we confront the fear and we follow God's voice in obedience, even in the midst of that which we're scared of, It's then that God's able to do more than we could think or imagine. It takes unimaginable faith to face our fears. What's got you scared? What's got you running scared this morning? Friends, when Jesus is on board, we have nothing to fear. Come on. When Jesus is on board, we have nothing to fear. We can be so experienced in our walk with Jesus and still be thrown into a panic when the storms start to rage in our lives. Jesus, where are you? Wake up! Why are you asleep at the wheel? We're going to die. Don't you care if we drown? We can be so experienced in our walk with Jesus and still be paralyzed by fear. It happened to those experienced fishermen that night out on the Sea of Galilee. You think it can't happen to you? It happened to them. They were pros. They were paralyzed by fear when the storm blew up. They needed to be reminded that their experience would only carry them so far. Their experience would only take them so far. And fortunately, they were wise enough to turn to the only one who could save them in those circumstances. So often we ask the question whether or not, are you on board with Jesus? You know, we're out there, we're asking, are you on board with Jesus? Do you believe in him? But this morning I want to flip the question around. Is Jesus allowed on board your heart? Is he allowed to come on board in your life? Do you trust him enough to let him sit at the stern of the boat? It's the most important part of the boat. It steers where the boat's going. That's where you control the ship, from the stern. Do you trust him enough to let him sit at the stern where he can have complete control and sleep when he wants to take a nap? Do you trust him? Do you trust him? If Jesus is on board and if you let him have control, your fears will dissolve, friends. Amen. Is Jesus on board this morning? Fears will dissolve, and that is when the unimaginable will start to happen before our very eyes and our lives. As we just close this morning, for someone today who's here, God is speaking to you. God is speaking to you. He's been talking to you recently. He's gone to your cave and found where you're at, where you've been hiding from what God knows what. God is speaking to you this morning, and God is saying, what are you doing here? Why are you hiding in this cave? Fear not. Don't be afraid. Let me on board. Bring me aboard. Quit trusting in everything but me. And I will still the waters. I will still the storms. And I will work in and through you to do more than you could think or imagine to build my kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. God is asking you this morning, what are you doing here? Why are you hiding out here? Come out. Let me come aboard. Trust me. And allow the unimaginable to happen in your life.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.